Every one of us struggles daily with sin. I think we often wonder why. I like John Owen in his book, Temptation and Sin. This is what he says about it. He says, repeated acts of the consent of the will unto sin may beget a disposition and inclinableness of the will unto proneness and readiness to consent unto sin upon easy solicitation. Now, that's why John Owen's not always easy to read. What he's saying is that we make a habit of sin by training our wills to easily fall into sin when it presents itself. In short, the more you sin, the more likely you are to sin. Sin creates and cultivates its own habit. Every sin we commit reinforces the habit of sinning and makes it easier to sin in the future. Last time we were together, 2 weeks ago, we looked at how important it is for us to guard our minds and to guard our emotions, because those are the two main channels that influence our wills. But what about our habits? They're important too. I looked up Webster in Webster's this week, looked up habit. It says a prevailing disposition or character of a person's thoughts or feelings. In other words, habits are the thought and emotional patterns that we've engraved or allowed to be engraved on our minds, on our character. They're internal patterns that influence our actions just as much as external influences. In fact, probably even more so. Again, to quote John Owen, he says, every lust is a depraved habit or disposition that continually inclines our hearts to do evil. Now, as unbelievers, we gave ourselves over to the developing of habits of unholiness. We spent our whole lives developing a habit for sin. We trained our wills to respond to situations in life in sinful ways, with sinful patterns. We trained ourselves so that when someone offends us, we respond with an outburst of anger. We trained ourselves so that when we hear a juicy piece of gossip, we just can't keep it to ourselves. We trained ourselves so that when we see an attractive member of the opposite sex, we take time to let our gaze linger. We trained ourselves to respond to lustful desires by throwing gasoline on the fire with things like pornography or illicit sex, like we were talking about this morning. We made sin a habit. We trained ourselves to it. What St. Paul calls ever-increasing wickedness in Romans 6. Every time we sin, every time we lusted, coveted, hated, cheated, lied, whatever, we were developing habits of ever-increasing wickedness. And those repeated acts of unrighteousness became habits that made us, in fact, slaves to sin. We trained ourselves to respond to life in ways that were ungodly. And yet, as we saw in our study of 1 Corinthians 6 last Sunday morning, while at one time we were sexually immoral, idolaters, thieves, swindlers, revilers, and drunks, through Christ, we have been washed clean. We've been made just before God, and we are in a continuing process of being sanctified by His Spirit. To sanctify something is to set it apart as holy and sacred, to set it aside for holy use. And that's what God's doing in us by the work of His Spirit. Our duty is to work with the Spirit to break the old sinful habits and to develop new habits that are holy and righteous. We're called by Paul, he says, put off your old self, your sinful disposition and its habits, and put on a new self with characteristics of holiness, with new habits that are godly. We're to train ourselves in godliness, Paul writes to Timothy in our lesson this evening. To do that means we have to discipline and structure our lives so that we develop godly habits. Putting off these sinful habits is what St. Paul calls mortifying or putting to death the deeds of the body. But as much as we have to cultivate, we have a duty to cultivate a habit of holiness, we can't do it on our own strength. Breaking sinful habits will only ever happen as we rely on the Holy Spirit working in us. A lot of people see a sinful behavior in their lives and they just resolve never to do it again. And they try to keep that resolve sheerly by human willpower. The problem is that willpower has never once broken the shackles of sin all on its own. We have enough trouble going on a diet just based on our human willpower. Human willpower does not break the shackles of sin. And so this evening I want to give us four practical principles that we can follow as we train ourselves for godliness. The first principle is that habits are developed and reinforced by repetition, by doing them a lot. Webster's also talks about habits or defines it as a behavior pattern that's acquired by frequent repetition. This is a principle that underlies the fact that the more we sin, the more we're inclined to sin. But the opposite is just as true. The more we say no to sin, the more we'll be inclined to say no to it in the future. For that reason, as we depend on the Holy Spirit, we need to work systematically at acquiring a habit of saying no to the sins that so easily entangle us. We all know what these sins are in our own lives, the sins that we're particularly vulnerable to. Start by saying no to those. And as we gradually develop a habit of holiness in those areas, God will lead us to work on other areas of sin, often other areas of sin that we didn't even know were there. And the more we succeed in saying no to our sinful desires, the easier it becomes to say no. That's sort of the negative side of it. But by the same way we develop a habit of saying no to sin, we also develop habits of holiness. We can develop the habit of thinking thoughts that are pure and true and good. We can develop the habits of prayer and of meditating on Scripture. But these habits will only develop if we do them frequently, if we practice them. I've found spending time deliberately working on Scripture memory to be one of the most helpful practices in this area. Instead of daydreaming or letting my mind wander during downtimes, like when I'm walking between here and my house, I've learned to spend that time recalling verses of Scripture that I've memorized. And as that becomes a habit, Scripture starts coming to mind at other times. And especially if we memorize Scriptures that deal with the sins we struggle with. When the temptation comes, what's going to pop into your mind? But that Scripture that'll remind you of what the godly response is supposed to be. The second principle of breaking sinful habits and creating new ones is to never allow an exception. To never allow an exception. Allowing exceptions only reinforces the old habits that we're trying to get rid of, or at least it fails to reinforce the new habit. When I say exception, I'm talking about those times we've all experienced when temptation comes, and we say something like, you know what, just this once, I won't do it tomorrow or from then on out. But today, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Like, you know what? I'll start the diet tomorrow or next week or after Christmas. It's a subtle and a dangerous trap. Because we're unwilling to pay the price of saying no to our desires, we tell ourselves that we'll indulge just one more time and that tomorrow's going to be different. But down inside, we really know, and we all know this from experience, tomorrow isn't going to be any different. In fact, if tomorrow is different, it's going to be different because it's harder to say no, because we've reinforced the sinful habit today. The third thing, we need to understand, we need to be diligent in all areas of our lives if we're going to be successful in one. Again, going back to John Owen in his book on temptation, he said, without a sincere and diligent effort in every area of obedience, there will be no successful mortification of any one besetting sin. See, there may be sins in our lives that we really don't consider to be that big of a deal. But as we continually give in to that sinful habit, it weakens our wills against the onslaught of temptations from other directions. I think sometimes we look in our lives and we pick out one big one and say, I'm just going to work on that. I'm not going to worry about the other one. If the other ones are still sins, even if they aren't as major as that one, we need to deal with everything that we're aware of. Just because we're working on this sin over here doesn't mean that these sins don't matter. So we need to be diligent across the board. This is why, I mean, just one example, sometimes it's not just sin specifically, but we need to develop habits of self-control over our physical appetites. And we might not think that indulging in ice cream or soda or candy bars or whatever is a big deal, but indulgences in small things weaken our wills in every other respect of our lives. Finally, number four, don't be discouraged by failure. Maybe that's the place, the thing we need to remember the most, not to be discouraged by failure. We need to remember that there's a big difference between failing and becoming a failure. Scripture tells us that none of us will achieve perfection, will achieve full holiness in this life, this side of eternity. That's why until the day that we die, we have to rely on the perfect holiness of Jesus Christ as we stand before God. In the meantime, we're called on to pursue holiness and to grow in maturity of our faith by the Spirit's help. We can only become failures when we give up, when we stop pursuing holiness at all. But as long as we're working on breaking and on stopping those sinful habits, regardless of how often we might fail and fall back into sin, we haven't become failures. Scripture promises that we will still see progress. See, friends, it's pointless to guard our minds and emotions, as we talked about the last time we were together. It's pointless to guard our minds and emotions against the temptation that comes from without if we don't do the same and deal with the habits of the sin, or the habits towards sin that are already within us, that are engraved on our hearts. The battle for holiness is something that we fight on more than one front. We fight it from without, guarding against what comes into us, but we also fight from within. And it's as we do those two things, it's then that we see progress toward Christ-likeness, toward holiness. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you've caused each of us to be indwelt by your Spirit, and that your Spirit works within us to change our desires and to turn us away from sin. And Father, we pray that as you open our eyes to the sin that remains within us, that we would be committed to overcoming it, that we would be committed to develop new habits as we put off the old ones, that we would be committed enough not to make exceptions. Father, we pray, though, that your Spirit would be there to continually exhort us, even in those times when we fall into or when we fail, to say no to sin. And let us trust in the righteousness of Christ and trust in your Spirit to continue working in us, that we might one day stand before you face to face, see your true holiness, and be made perfect ourselves. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.